proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another lesson about Jewish life and practice. According to Jewish custom, Judaism rests upon three foundations or pillars: prayer, known as tefillah, repentance, known as teshuvah, and charity, known as tzedakah. This session constitutes the second of a two-part series relating to repentance. In our previous session, we considered Maimonides' guidelines for a person to indicate repentance toward God for sin committed against him. A penitent sinner had to acknowledge his sin and cease engaging in it. Afterwards, he needed to confess his sin openly, an action that concretely identified the nature of his transgression. He then needed to express regret for his misdeed. Regret, not merely remorse. And determined that he would never again commit that particular sin. What happens when a Jew wrongs another individual? Before undertaking a response to that question, we need to understand something. According to the Jewish mind, a transgression need not entail a physical act, such as theft. To the Jewish way of thinking, for example, humiliating or shaming someone else also qualifies as a sin. What happens when a person repents against a sin made against another person? In such a situation, additional procedures come into play. Teshuvah mandates two further actions: restoration and reconciliation. Both of these practices emphasize the reformation of the sinner's character, rather than indicating a mere change of mind about the nature of the sinful deed. Restoration compels a penitent to make whole the person he has offended, as far as that is possible. When Nathan told David about a man who killed a neighbor's ewe lamb to make a feast for a traveler, that king replied, quote, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Note that the second part of David's judgment conformed with the requirements laid down in the Mosaic law. However, the initial portion of that statement, that the man deserved to die, was not found in the Mosaic law. Reconciliation seeks to mend a shattered relationship between the transgressor and his victim. The offended party has an obligation to accept any teshuva offered, providing the offender has expressed true contrition for his misdeed and has undertaken the steps necessary to right the wrong he committed. A refusal to grant forgiveness after three requests to do so. A refusal to grant forgiveness becomes tantamount to holding a grudge against the offender. Maimonides wrote that the most integral part of repentance takes place when a transgressor ceases to practice that sin. This is the element that distinguishes true teshuva from insincere teshuva. A truly penitent individual will not only turn from his sin, he will forsake committing it as well. According to Jewish belief, acceptable teshuva need not derive from entirely altruistic motives. Repentance rooted in fear, for instance, even though it's less desirable than repentance rooted in love. Repentance rooted in fear still qualifies under the category of teshuva. Teshuva enables an individual to be reconciled and restored, both unto God and unto his fellow man. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another session about Jewish life and practice.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.